let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, as always here on Life Changes with Filippo, we're talking about life changes. And frankly, I can't think of a bigger life change than what we could experience if we believe or come to know what Dr. Stephen Greer, our guest today, is going to be talking about. As a matter of fact, not only is he going to be talking about it, but we are introducing his film, Sirius, and what's going to be presented in that is sure to be mind-blowing. Dr. Stephen Greer has been working for over 20 years to bring out credible scientific information about extraterrestrial civilizations visiting the Earth and to explain to people its significance and importance. He is an emergency doctor who has given us practice, who has given up his practice treating medical emergencies in the hospital to address the emergency facing the world in terms of government secrecy and suppression of new energy alternatives that could save the environment. Now, I mentioned the Sirius film, Sirius as in S-I-R-I-U-S. The Sirius film is a portal to pique people's interest to these realities. And that is that ET civilizations are visiting the Earth, that it is possible to make contact with them, and that the reason for the secrecy is that their propulsion system, that their propulsion systems use physics that we understand, but would eliminate the need for fossil fuels. These issues are not theoretical, but affect all aspects of our human life. That is a mouthful, and definitely a mindful. And we're about to get more of the same when we come back here on Life Changes with Filippo with our guest, Dr. Stephen Greer.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb and rob minerals from the body. IonWay's ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWay's ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWay's water systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWay's water systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back, and I am Filippo, and I'm happy to say that our guest today is Dr. Stephen Greer, and you all must know, if not a little, a lot about him, because he's all over and quite a popular man in many circles. And I believe as soon as the film Sirius comes out, probably in the mass market, which will be quite exciting, actually, to be having this conversation on a mass scale. Now, it's interesting that I have to say this, that I have not, as of yet, gotten to see the whole film, but I did get to see about 20 minutes of it. And talk about thought-provoking, and talk about it being a portal to pique people's interest to these realities that we talked about before the commercial break. Well, myself, I have had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Greer a couple times. I've actually heard him live a couple times. I've seen many of his videos, and I have to say, I have been fascinated by the information, and I have been intrigued, and I have believed. And I have said, go, Stephen, go. This is great stuff you are putting out there. Thank you for doing this.
However, you're welcome.
Thank you. There he is. And however, I have to say, when I saw just those 20 minutes of this film that's coming out, Sirius, I no longer was saying, Stephen, this is great. Do this. This is your job, in a sense. I felt as if, wait a minute, this man has dropped everything that he's done, and he has a family, and he's got all this stuff going on, and he's dropped everything to bring this truth out. And here I am as a radio host, and I'm saying, go, Stephen, go. And that's great, but I felt as if Stephen were saying directly to me and to all of us that are going to be watching this, saying, it's not just up to him. It's up to us to not say the things like I've said on the radio, thinking it was my job to say things like, okay, so if aliens really existed, to kind of allow for the audience to be open to the possibility. Well, I think we are beyond that. And I think that very soon people will be saying, oh, it's kind of like back in the day when people used to believe that the Earth was flat. And now we don't anymore. It'll be like that. And so no longer do I want to say if aliens existed. And I thank Dr. Stephen Greer for that. And just that 20 minutes of the film. So I can't wait to see the whole film. And let's not wait to bring Dr. Stephen Greer on to talk about his work and this film coming out in coming out now. Dr. Stephen Greer, welcome to Life Changes with Filippo.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be with you. And the big premiere is there in Los Angeles on April 22nd on Earth Day. And we picked Earth Day because what people don't realize is that this is much less about ETs than it is about humanity. And the fact that there is over 60 years of hard data and evidence that we're being visited, and classified projects, including, you know, my uncle, I don't know if you know this, designed the lunar module, the funny-looking thing that landed on the moon with Neil Armstrong on it. Mm-hmm. And his company was Northrop Grumman, and these sort of aerospace companies have been studying this in covert programs for more than 50 years and have figured out how these so-called UFOs are zipping around. Now, that secret is why the subject ends up being the butt of so many jokes, and the CIA launched a program in 1953, for which I have a document that explains that they were even going to engage Disney Studios to make absurd cartoons and films about the subject so that nobody would take it seriously. Why? Because if the truth came out about the reality of these objects and how they move, we would have been off of oil and gas and coal and nuclear power in the 50s, which means the last 60 years of environmental decay, poverty, the melting of the ice caps, global warming, all of this has been completely unnecessary. And it's been done because you're talking about hundreds of trillions of dollars in assets that are in the oil fields and in the coal fields and in the power plants. And what we're saying is that it's time for us to create an entirely new civilization. And this is a civilizational transformational moment that we're in, and we're going to have to choose whether we're going to stay on this path of self-destruction of the planet or whether we're going to choose a path that is more enlightened and brings out sciences and technologies which we can prove exist and which have been around for a very long time, but that the public have been misinformed about. And so this is really one of the central themes of the film Sirius, which you did spell it correctly. It's like the star system, the brightest star in the sky is Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S. And, you know, I started the Disclosure Project back some 20 years ago to begin to brief senior officials in Washington and the public on this. And what I've found is that this is something that the people are going to have to do, not me and certainly not the President of the United States. The President is denied access to these classified projects routinely, which is something that Carter actually publicly admitted. President Carter, when he was asked about this, said, look, I was only the President. I didn't have a high enough clearance to get briefed on this. And he was not joking. And I think the public needs to understand that what Eisenhower said when he said, beware the military-industrial complex because it'll be a threat to our democracy and our way of life and our security, he knew what he was talking about because it was on his watch in the 1950s that this entire matter went sideways. And unfortunately, he and people in Congress lost control over these covert operations, so-called black projects. And ever since then, we've been living in this sort of twilight zone of I call it a retarded civilization that thinks we're high-tech because we have smartphones and computers. But in reality, our smartphones and computers are being fired off of a coal-fired power grid from the late 1800s. And this is all an anomaly, an aberration that results from this kind of illegal secrecy. And I say illegal secrecy as opposed to the kind of secrecy that normally goes on at the CIA and Department of Defense, because these are secrets which people who are supposed to be in charge don't know. I mean, I personally briefed a sitting CIA director on this for Bill Clinton back in the 90s, and this CIA director was completely sidelined and was denied access to covert programs that he knew were going on, but they wouldn't tell him. And so this is a very dysfunctional situation we have here in Washington, and one of the things that people have to understand is that if the people will lead, the leaders will follow. And what we're trying to do with this film is to inform the masses further about this issue, but also to galvanize them to say, okay, if Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman and these other entities won't bring these technologies out, why don't we build our own new energy lab and we collect the most brilliant physicists and scientists that I've identified over the last 20 years, put them in a place with cameras rolling, streaming on the Internet, and let the whole world watch as we develop these technologies. And when the, you know, goose-stepping thugs come in to try to shut it down, we basically tell the people to take back the streets. I mean, I know this sounds very revolutionary, but at a certain point, we cannot sit back passively and let the petro-fascists run the planet into the ground. The other thing we have to do is begin to make peaceful contact with these visitors. Contrary to all the nonsense that comes out of Hollywood, which spends billions of dollars on films about various aliens invasion scenarios, there's no evidence at all that any of these ETs are hostile. But they're very concerned about our hostility, and this is why we have dozens of documented cases of these UFOs and ETs observing our nuclear facilities and our space weapons and things of this sort, because they're very concerned that actually humans could be an existential threat to other planets. And so I think what we also have to do is start a citizens' diplomacy effort. And so I began that project in 1990, actually 23 years ago, where we conceived of the idea that we as people should be able to go out under the stars and make peaceful contact, and because the State Department isn't doing it and the United Nations isn't doing it. I know I've worked with folks in both those areas a lot. And I think that this is why the people have to say, and you were so right on the introduction, my message to people is that it isn't up to me and it isn't up to the president. It's up to we the people, which is how it should be in a democracy. And we have to make peaceful contact. We need to lead, be in the vanguard of bringing out these new technologies. And we have to disclose the facts. And luckily, you know, we've had over 500 top secret military and intelligence officials. Some of their interviews are up at our website, which is SiriusDisclosure.com. It's SIRIUS Disclosure, allone word.com. And on those sites, you'll see at the top there's a button that says UFO evidence. You click it, and there's dozens of top secret documents, dozens of photographs and videos, dozens of top secret witnesses speaking. And we have about 100 of these interviews on videotape, and we're slowly loading them up. We have a project right now where we're putting all that up so the public can just freely see them. And I think that the film is going to focus on a lot of this information and sort of the journey of discovery that we've gone through, so that the film becomes this portal that you enter into, and then through the website you get more and more information, and to galvanize a global movement to bring out the truth about the fact that we're not alone, but also, more importantly, to bring out these technologies which literally would give us an entirely new civilization without any pollution, and frankly, within 15 to 20 years, with no poverty on Earth. This is not a utopian fantasy. This can actually be done if we come together as a people and begin to understand this issue.
Wow, you know, Stephen, you say so many things that people can consider way out there. And ironically, what you just said just now about this being a non-utopian vision there, that seems so way out there. And that's sad.
Right, because we're frogs that are in this pot that's been boiling for 100 years of secrecy. I tell people that there's, you know, the laws of the universe are universal. It turns out that Nikola Tesla and Faraday and other people discovered very high voltage electromagnetic systems that would pull energy out of what's called the zero point energy field, or the quantum vacuum. Again, modern physicists might call it the Higgs field. But the truth is that you could have a generator the size of smaller than your heat pump at your house that would run your house's needs, and you would never have to be on the grid, and you would never have to be polluting. Same thing for your automobile or for something that would levitate, which is what a UFO is. I mean, you know, George Jetson, by the time that cartoon was made, we actually had in classified projects devices that would do exactly what's portrayed in those cartoons. But they tried to make cartoons about it because it was a diversion. The intelligence community is very good at creating these diversions. And in reality, the truth is this. These technologies have been around and operational since at least the 1950s in terms of what people called back then flying saucers. And we have many, many photographs of these, some of which are ET, but some of which are man-made. The bigger story is that there are man-made ones that we have, and the intelligence community would like to think that all of these are actually quote-unquote ET, when in reality they know they have them, and they don't want to disclose that they have them because that would completely, shall we say, terminate the macroeconomic order, which right now, people don't realize, we're basically slaves on someone's plantation. And the United States is a wealthier plantation than, say, the Congo. But the problem is we're all living in a macroeconomic slavery based on the fact that there are 200 or 300 individuals and corporations that control over half of the wealth of the world, and are ruthlessly suppressing this information, not because there's any threat from ET, but because they don't want to lose their grip on power. So this is all about the corruption that vast amounts of power brings, and this is exactly what Eisenhower, who, by the way, was a 5-star general and a conservative Republican, he was no Abby Hoffman, and he was the one warning about the excesses of the military-industrial complex becoming a threat to our society. And in fact, this has happened. And so we need a course correction, and we need it badly, and we're hoping this film, Sirius, will do this. Now, what's interesting, something you didn't mention, this film is the largest crowdfunded documentary in history. And what that means is that it's been funded by the public. We have no big corporate media investors. And we're going to bring it out through a company called YECRA there in Los Angeles that is going to be able to allow every single organization, alternative media group, to be its own distribution center. And you can sign up right now at SiriusDisclosure.com and do this. And this is how we're going to bypass the stranglehold that the mainstream media has had on the subject, because, you know, I've been on Larry King Live and other shows, but for the most part, the media will not cover the really deep part of the subject, and that is that there are illegal classified programs keeping the technologies away from us. And when you step into that arena, I have literally been on live shows where they have gone to an unscheduled commercial break and a voice has come in and said, Dr. Greer, change the direction of this conversation now or we're going to dump this show live. I'm quoting. Now, so the reality is that people have to say, okay, now that we have something we didn't have a dozen years ago when we did the National Press Club event where the first 25 of these top secret military people came forward, now we have YouTube, we have internet streaming, we have video on demand, we have smartphones, we have a whole lot of tools that didn't exist even 5 or 6 years ago that can really change this, so that this film is going to be the first film, I predict, in history that not only is funded by the people, but is going to be massively distributed by the people. And I think this is the model of the new media that is really, really exciting.
That is exciting. And I should say that you mentioned the National Press Club disclosure event. I'm assuming you're talking about the one in May of 2001, where, over 250,000 people were waiting online way back then, and it was at the time the largest webcast in the history of the National Press Club. So obviously you are doing something. So if that back in 2001 was that big, then we can only predict, as you're saying, how big Sirius will be as it comes out. And actually, it's come out now at the release of this interview. And so people can go to SiriusDisclosure.com. That's S-I-R-I-U-S, Disclosure.com, and can learn about the film, see the trailer, see where they can see it, or better yet, see how they can help spread the word. Also, if you're looking for links and you hear this interview, you can always go to LifeChangesWithFilippo.com. And on both sites, there will be links on how YouTube can become an affiliate to help bring this film to your friends and family and your followers as well, because this is up to us. And Dr. Stephen Greer certainly led the way, and he's leading the way and certainly blowing our minds here on Life Changes with Filippo. We'll be back with more of Dr. Stephen Greer right after this.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeitel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, we're back. We are talking with Dr. Stephen Greer, who is the founder of the Disclosure Project, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, otherwise affectionately known by many as CSETI, and the Orion Project and Sirius Technology Advanced Research. Now, I'm hoping we're going to get to talk about some of that research. He is also the author, I should say, of four insightful books and multiple DVDs on the UFO ET subject. And speaking of DVDs, today we're talking about the historic film Sirius, which has premiered on April 22nd in Los Angeles and now is available all over the world. He teaches groups throughout the world how to make peaceful contact with extraterrestrial civilizations and continues to research bringing truth, alternative energy sources out to the public. Dr. Greer has studied the Sanskrit Vedas extensively and has been teaching mantra meditation for over 30 years. Dr. Greer, all of this from a man who was an emergency room doctor.
Well, actually, I was. I used to be a tutor of Sanskrit and teacher of the Vedas and meditation before I was a doctor. So that preceded my interest in medicine. And then, you know, I ran an ER and a trauma center for 10 years. And but, you know, this subject slowly overtook my medical work because what I discovered a few years ago is that the secrecy around this issue is destroying our planet. And I always joke that I'm an emergency doctor, and I know an emergency when I see one, and our planet and our people are in an emergency. And so we need to come together as a people and find solutions to some of these seemingly intractable problems. But the good news about all this, you know, people get into all these dark conspiracy things. And I say, look, this is actually a message of great news and great hope, and that is the means for creating a sustainable and peaceful civilization are extant. They already exist on Earth. The fact that they have been ruthlessly suppressed doesn't mean they have to stay that way. And the only way that this kind of change happens, I don't care if you're overthrowing an overt dictator like Adolf Hitler or some other dictator in the world, or a covert dictatorial regime, which is really what we're living under, it's about people coming together, awakening to those facts, and making change happen. And many times I'll have people say, oh my God, you know, when is disclosure going to happen? Meaning, when is the president going to stand up and do it? I said, what is the president going to disclose? When I met with the CIA director, my hands were shaking as I handed off a white paper, a position paper that was recommending a series of executive actions for the president and the leadership of our country. And the CIA director looked me square in the eyes, and he said, Dr. Greer, how do we disclose that which we have no access to? And he proceeded, I mean, it was a very poignant moment. Here I am, a 30-some-year-old medical doctor doing this because I was asked to, and I still continue to provide this kind of information to world leaders. But the bottom line is that the emperor has no clothes. And what you realize very quickly is that people have all these false assumptions that just because you're a general or an admiral or a CIA director or a president that you're going to have access to things that are incredibly secret, and the fact is they don't. But here's the good news. We put out a call for people to come forward with this information, and they did. Why? Because we established that this was not legal secrecy that's protected under the National Security Act. It is illegal secrecy, and since it's illegal, they are not bound by their security oath. And that's why we went from about a dozen top secret whistleblowers and witnesses to now over 500. That's why we got all these top secret documents. That's how we got all this information, and including, I might add, a computer disk that has thousands of pages of technologies on them, that if we could build this new energy research lab, we could begin to research and build out these devices. I'm sitting on this material. But you can't do this out of your garage. You've got to have really good physicists. I have to tell people that the net proceeds from this film, Sirius, are going into this research and development fund on these energy issues. Technologies, because that's the next big step in disclosure. About two-thirds of the public believe there's intelligent life in the universe. More than half of the United States public, and consistently in every poll, believe we've been visited and some aspect of the government is keeping it secret. So we've kind of won that war. What hasn't happened, and this is tragic, and I sometimes feel like I haven't done enough, I've tried to do what I can, is to bring out these technologies so that we can get off of oil and gas and coal and alleviate the burden we placed on Gaia, on Mother Earth, because it's criminal what we're doing to our Mother Earth, and we can do better. And in an act of great compassion, we have to come together to do this, no matter what the risks are. And sometimes the risks are substantial. I mean, I've had, in the last couple of weeks, multiple death threats that have been directed my way. But I tell people you cannot stand down because there are a bunch of bullies who want to run the world into a black pit of destruction as sort of a terminus that doesn't need to happen. And I think we can do better, and we must. And I think the folks who care about the Earth and care about the future of our species have to say, if there's even a 1% chance that everything that people see in the film series is true, it means that there's something very extraordinary being kept from the public, and we need to fix this problem. And I also think that, you know, one of the things we have now, and there's a link to this from the SiriusDisclosure.com website, is that we have an app for both your iPhone and for Androids that you can put on your phone the entire remote viewing meditation and contact protocols that I've been teaching to people, and it's now available on anyone who has a smartphone can do it. And we now have thousands of people all over the world who are going out under the stars practicing these techniques, and they work because the nature of interstellar reality is that it's transdimensional, meaning that it goes beyond the speed of light. And when you cross beyond the speed of light, guess what? You're in an entirely new paradigm where the operative science is the science of consciousness. And this is where I link, you know, my experiences when I was quite young studying the Vedas and meditation into sort of the space age of interstellar travel. And this bit of information is, to me, the most intriguing and fascinating part that we introduce in a little mild way in the film Sirius, because obviously in less than 2 hours you can only do so much. But this is the core of what I think is one of the most exciting things, is that the real shift in our civilization is going to be rooted in consciousness and higher states of consciousness and the exploration of mind and where the nexus is between consciousness and the electromagnetic field and the physical universe and healing and even communication systems. And what I discovered some years ago is that these interstellar civilizations whose communication systems are phasing in dimensions beyond the speed of light intersect with the dimension of coherent thought. And so if you're in a certain type of meditative state and you can begin to use that state to remote view space and connect to these ETs, you can connect with them and kind of vector them in, like you vector a jet into LAX or New York City Airport. And this is what we started experimenting with about 20 years ago, and we have had amazing experiences happen with this. And so what I tell people is that this is another part of the paradigm, that the sort of the layers of this that get peeled back. One is the secrecy about UFOs, the other is the technology, and that the deepest part of this is a whole new understanding of reality that is a quantum conscious hologram, where the conscious mind is really the operative system.
I'm sitting here laughing and amazed. The thought occurred to me that you've been doing this for so long, and maybe you came onto the planet with some of this information already inside you, but just in that I don't even know if you know that in just a minute or two of your speaking, you're talking about things that people have never thought about in their lifetime. Some people, like the science of consciousness, crossing beyond the speed of light, interstellar travel, remote viewing. I don't know if I know what it is, but I don't know if everybody knows what that is. You're talking about getting off of oil, gas, and coal, and you're in one sentence you said that the president doesn't know about this is going on, what this is all about. But if the president doesn't know that, then one wonders, well, what does the president know? And if the president doesn't know that, then who are we really voting for? And so much for the voting system and all of that. Everything comes tumbling down.
Well, I don't, you know, maybe I said too much too quickly, but what I'll tell you is that, you know, people like the current president are interested and curious enough. You know, when he got elected about 4 years ago, I was asked to put together a very large briefing for him, and I did that. And I wouldn't assume that he doesn't know. I think you have to make a distinction, and I think people conflate knowing with having control access. Control access in a classified project is very compartmented. So the president may know certain things, but he doesn't necessarily control them. You see the difference. So the controlling and knowing are two very, very different things. Operational control is one thing, but that's a long discussion of how our government works or doesn't work, and the sort of national security state that's evolved over the last 50 or 60 years that has hijacked our democracy. But I think that ultimately this is why I have concluded that, you know, I have a home in Washington, and the dysfunction and the ignorance is so stultifying that I've concluded that it's really going to have to be something from we the people. And that's why the Disclosure Project has always focused on bringing this information out to the people. Now, in the 1990s, I really did hope that if I put together a lot of these top secret people who've been inside these programs and provided guidance to our leaders, whether it was the president or members of Congress and members of the Senate Intelligence Committee I met with and people like that, that they would come together as our leaders and do the right thing. Huh? Well, it turns out not. And so now, you know, over the last 10 years or 15 years or so, I said, look, this is really up to we the people. And ironically, I'm here at my country home in Virginia, which is near Thomas Jefferson's Monticello, the man who wrote the Declaration of Independence. And I can feel his spirit hovering around here going, yes, it's we the people. And so we the people have to figure out how to quit lying to each other and how to bring out the truth about these issues and to reboot our civilization and put it on a path of sustainability, and also to begin to explore what has been known for a very long time. You know, the father of modern quantum mechanics and particle wave theory, Ernst Schrodinger, in I believe 1910 or around 1910, the early part of the 1900s, stated the total number of minds in the universe is one. That is, it is a singularity. So consciousness is actually a singularity. So all the thousands of people or millions of people listening right now, think about this. There's your individuality, but the mind whereby you are awake is a singularity. And if you can sit in silent meditation, you can experience that singularity. It's called samadhi. And then you can awaken from that state and begin to see with your consciousness distant places and distant times. That's what remote viewing is. And interestingly, of course, the Army intelligence chief that I met with years ago was training his guys to do this, as were some people at the CIA. And they had a program at Stanford Research International that DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Administration, was doing on a remote viewing. And I know all those early remote viewers. And people like Ingo Swann were good friends of mine. And what I point out is that this is something that's innate to every human being, and we shouldn't cede this territory just to the spies. We should be enlightened and do it for the good of the world, and that's one of the things that we can all come together and learn is the nature of our own conscious reality. And that's what motivates me more than anything, is having had those experiences many times in my life, I've concluded that real change starts at this deep level of consciousness and goes from inside out, not outside in. And yet, an idea is a powerful thing, and people coming together is a powerful thing. And this is really how society moves forward. But when you analyze it in its basic element, it's a shift in consciousness and an awakening within. And I think this is really what I hope Sirius, the film, can begin to potentiate, and that people will learn more about this and come together in communities to not only make peaceful contact with these civilizations that are visiting us, but also network this to other people. Because with the internet and social media, if we could raise in the R&D world of physics a very modest sum of money, I mean less than $10 million, $6 to $10 million, we could build a facility and staff it with some of the most brilliant geniuses who have been locked away in covert programs for the last 30 or 40 years and begin to bring these technologies out. But you're not going to do it by just wishing it would happen. There's some very hard technical work that has to be done, quite frankly, very carefully. And it has to be done in a way that the public is the primary supporter, not some rich person necessarily, or corporation or government, because the government's never going to support funding something like this, nor will some large corporation. Because someone will come in from the intelligence community and say, don't do it. How do I know this? I personally have seen it happen. So I think the people need to come together and say, okay, we're going to support the film. And every time someone does a video on demand or gets a DVD of this film, those proceeds are going in to build this energy research effort. And that is exactly the way it should be, I think, because it really puts the power back to the people. And so the people can choose whether they want to you know, live in a cesspool of carbon-based filth and diesel fuel and coal and smut and nuclear power and radiation and cancer, or they can choose whether they want to bring forward these new technologies and create the world anew and start an entirely new era on this planet. And I think we should choose the latter. We should choose this path of a beautiful new civilization. And this, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, this is not some sort of way out in the future. This is something that we could have had 50 years ago, but didn't know enough to do it. Now I think we can do it because with the new media and the internet, I think we can get this information out and come together and create this big civilizational change, which really could have happened 100 years ago or begun to happen, but it kept getting corrupted by very big moneyed interests, whether it was the J.P. Morgans and the Rockefellers of the early part of the 1900s or the current oligarchies that are running amok in the world today and the masters of the universe on Wall Street. It's time for us to say, all right, enough of that. And let's not just be passive sheep being marched to the slaughter. Let's decide that we're going to stand up and do the right thing and come together as a people. And this film, Sirius, I think can be a vehicle for this. I hope it will be. To be honest with you, the only reason that we did the film was to raise the awareness in the world and also to raise the resources and raise the funds to put this new energy laboratory into reality and bring these technologies out, because we have tried to do it with very small, modest grants to various inventors. It has never worked. It has to be done in a way that's much more professionalized than the new energy community has ever conceived of. And that's what we're hoping will happen this year with the film coming out.
Well, for all intents and purposes, it sounds to me like it has happened, and it was good. If thoughts are things and they're powerful, I remember a couple years ago when I last heard you speak, you were soliciting funds and telling people of this film that you wanted to make. And now the film is here in a big way. And so in the same way, we look forward to the film having its success, and we'll talk about that when we come back. But before we go, Dr. Stephen Greer did mention that you can spread the word and you can be part of this movement, and you can do so by going to Sirius Disclosure, SIRIUSDisclosure.com. And there you can not only see how you can see the film or buy the film or gift the film, but also you can become an affiliate through YECRA.com or through SiriusDisclosure.com, or we'll also have the links up at LifeChangesWithFilippo.com, and you can become an affiliate and be part of bringing more energy to this vision. And when we come back, Stephen, I'm wondering, again, since you're mentioning the thoughts and samadhi and we're all one mind and all of that, if you could, for just one moment, whether that be a minute or two, encapsulate for us what it would look like after this film has had its major success and it's been seen all over the world by millions of people or billions, and we are now in this vision that we will have you share with us, out of the cesspool of carbon-based filth, et cetera, et cetera, and the world looks completely different. Maybe, 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now. I'd love to hear your vision of that encapsulated when we come back here with Dr. Stephen Greer on Life Changes with Filippo.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
And we're back. This is live with Dr. Stephen Greer, who is the founder of the Disclosure Project, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, otherwise known as CSETI, and the Orion Project and Sirius Technology Advanced Research. And I will add now the producer and protagonist of the film Sirius, of the successful film Sirius. So here we are in the future, Dr. Greer, and what are we seeing?
Well, I'll tell you, I think that here's the vision that can guide the world and inspire us is based on technologies that we know we already have. We could have every home, business, village being run on clean, non-polluting, zero-point-based energy generators that would need no supply line and no power grid. This means that there would be no pollution in the world. The tide that would lift all ships in terms of our economy was that the billions of people who live in poverty around the world would be able to have these technologies provided to them so that they could have clean water and they could have electrification, but without the destruction of the rainforest and without the destruction of digging out coal and oil from the earth. Then with that, you'd have the ability to have universal education, which we do not have worldwide, because on the basis of this abundance, you could then have not only universal education and the end of poverty, but with that, in every study, you have then equality amongst the sexes. So we end this period of misogyny and homophobia and racism that's all based on this atavistic struggle for domination of a zero-sum game of resources. That imagine when we have a world where that universal education extends to all the people, and they have found that once women, for example, have access to this, sort of abundance, and their economic situations improve, and they have access to family planning. I know that I'm making some social commentary here, that instead of having 10 or 12 children apiece, they end up having two or three. And then you get over this Malthusian dilemma we have of a population ballooning from 7 billion to 15 billion or 20 billion people. But not only that, but that those who are living on the Earth don't have to cannibalize the Earth. So there's an environmental homeostasis that develops where everything we use can be 100% recycled. Why? We already have the technologies to do that, but it takes energy to do it, and the energy is polluting. If you take the energy equation and make the energy free and non-polluting, you can recycle everything so there's no waste ever. Now let's look at agriculture. You could grow anything anywhere in the world because you could create microenvironments because the energy would be free, and you could have whether it's a orange tree or broccoli growing in a controlled environment, and the water could be derived from desalinization because the only reason, two-thirds of the planet's covered with water, why is there water shortage everywhere? Because it's expensive because of the energy aspects to desalinate seawater and to ship it and pump it. But if energy is free, that changes that dynamic, and it's like in the Bible where it says, even the deserts shall bloom. You can have this world based on this one fundamental change. Now, the other big change that goes with that is that when there is this level of justice, then you have peace, because where there is no justice, you will never have peace. So unless we have macroeconomic justice and can move towards that, which cannot be done with the zero-sum game of fossil fuels, you're going to have conflict. Once we move into a world that is just, it'll be increasingly peaceful. And while the peace at first may be a geopolitical peace, that will lay the foundation for the Great Enlightenment, where then people will have the time, because the work week will drop from 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week to about 15 hours a week. And then people will spend their time in the pursuit of higher states of consciousness and enlightenment and creative pursuits. And this is all the sort of transformative changes that will result from this information and knowledge coming out. And then you add to that the study of consciousness and communication with these interstellar civilizations. We have these technologies being used for peaceful purposes, not for weapon systems, and then we can travel amongst the stars. You know, the head of Lockheed Skunk Works before he passed away said to a group of people at UCLA that we already have the means to travel amongst the stars. That is, we can take E.T. home. I'm quoting. This is Ben Rich. He wrote a book about the Skunk Works. This is true. In our classified projects, we already have interstellar-capable technologies. So now we go out as a peaceful civilization that's enlightened to these other worlds, and the entire universe opens to us and welcomes us, because now we're not a bunch of destructive primates running around blowing each other up. We're living in peace, and there is justice, and there is equality on the planet, and the universe opens its arms to us, and we travel amongst the stars as a peaceful civilization. And in fact, I predict, looking some thousands of years down the road, we will be ETs to other worlds that are coming this way behind us.
And they'll think we look funny.
Well, and we do. Hey, you know what? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And so, I mean, that's just sort of a quick journey through what I know we can achieve from this point forward. And anyway, that's the vision I have of a world that's based on a new vision and consciousness, and also science and technologies that I know we already have, and the kind of civilization that can be created. And this is a wonderful vision that I think that if people understand that this is not a fantasy, but it's something that, given the things that I have personally seen, we can actually create that today. And we could have started creating it decades ago, but it's gotten forestalled by people that we have to just say, enough already. And the only way that's going to happen, it isn't going to be one person doing it. It isn't going to be me or the president. It's going to be millions of people saying that I get it. Now we're going to make this change. We're going to get together. We're going to lock arms together in consciousness and in peace, and with this vision guiding us. And that's what the world is that we're going to create. And ultimately, this world is what we create out of our internal consciousness and our minds and our dreams. And I would say to people, let's get on with the good future.
Wow. And there you just said it. And one good step towards that is to watch this film and share it with your friends and family. Serious is the film. And I recommend that we take it seriously. Go to Sirius Disclosure, S-I-R-I-U-S, disclosure.com. Or, of course, you could go to yekra.com or lifechangeswithfipo.com. It's everywhere. You're going to see it everywhere. And as long as you see it and spread the news, we'll all be better for it. I'm sure of it and looking forward to it. Dr. Greer, I know you've got lots going on and so many people want your attention these days, including some family members who are having some exciting things going on. So we congratulate you for that and thank you for taking the time for being with us here on Life Changes with Filippo.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's been a lot of fun, and I look forward to seeing the rest of the other 20 minutes that I didn't get to see. So
great. Go see
right.
it.
Take care.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back here on Life Changes with Filippo with Mark Legere and the producer's wrap. And boy, are we going to have lots to talk about right after this.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's LOUISEASHBY.org or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org or telephone 323-592-3181. Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
We're back. Our minds have been blown and a new vision has been set, and here we are on the new Life Changes with Filippo after an interview with Dr. Stephen Greer. Okay. And where do we go from here? To where no man has ever gone before.
Well said. To another planet.
New Earth.
You know, I'm not so shocked, to be honest with you. And I know many of our listeners will, and a lot of people will have some visceral reactions to some of what he said. Other people will believe it totally. I mean, this is so many of those topics are so polarizing because people believe certain things and hold those beliefs so concretely. But, you know, I was reflecting while I was listening to him, because a lot of it makes logical sense. And then more importantly, when you get into modern science and a lot of what's happening in quantum physics and around some of this free energy and electromagnetic technology, crystalline technology, you know, just the better understanding that we have of vibrational and hyperspace and all these things, which, you know, a long time ago were science fiction. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that the science fiction were actually consulted to those producers by physicists and based on theory. And so all of that science fiction, not all of it, but certainly a lot of it, had scientific merit. And some of it's coming true. And some of it's looking like it's possible to come true. And so,
or already is true, or we don't know about it.
Or, and I was just going to say, given what he was saying, some of it very well could be true. And now, I wasn't privy to some of the highest levels of Black Clarence, but I, you know, I worked in the high technology space for years and years, and around a lot of the companies that were mentioned, and with a lot of people that worked in a lot of those sectors. And you know, there's a lot of opinions about this type of stuff, and a lot of it's congruent. I think I've always found comfort in operating from a space of knowing that I don't have all the answers. And therefore not
nobody being, has it. Nobody
yeah, but
has
a lot of
answers.
People think they do.
Yeah,
and that's where you know these arguments and passionate battles come from. And you know, I think if you operate from a place of not knowing the answer, and then be willing to connect some dots, you know, and that's where I get a little bit frustrated, because when you look back and you ask certain questions about archaeology and findings and what's possible and how did certain things happen. And then you simply connect the dots with some of the things that we know. We know that Tesla, at the turn of the century, was transmitting power without wires. You know, we know that we have electromagnetic levitation capabilities. You know, you can buy a bed for $1 million, and you know that levitates. I mean, we know we have some of these basic things.
You could buy it seriously.
Yeah, you stay here for a little while before you run out and get one.
Really? You could buy a bed for $1 million and it...
That levitates.
Really?
There's no wires and yeah. There's all sorts of, and you know, there is certain aspects of travel. But, you know, when you get into dimensionality, it's just adjusting frequencies. It's a broader approach to what we understand by tuning the radio. And so, again, I just look at these different things, you know, even frequency as it came to health. You know, there was Dr. Royal Rife that lived in the 50s that was attacking, you know, certain aspects of the health equation and certain diseases based on frequency. So a lot of this then becomes, at least in my mind, within the realm of possibility, not saying it's true or not true. But that's kind of the way I've looked at things. And so it, for me, it makes it a little bit easier to tackle some of these big, big subjects. But, you know, here's a guy with an amazing amount of courage that's gone head to head with the establishment.
Yeah.
And then you got to look at the resumes. You know, now over 500 of these people, and look at the credibility. And some of them, what we have, we in terms of at least American society, has held out as the best of the best, you know, Edgar Mitchell and other astronauts
have
very definitive positions on this and what they've seen and what they're willing to talk about now. And do we write them off? Yet they work with some of the greatest minds on the planet day in and day out.
On these kinds of subjects.
On these kinds of subjects.
It's not like it's something completely different than what they've studied or have done every single day of their careers. It's on those very subjects.
But it does challenge the belief system, right? And it asks you to be willing to let go of some things that maybe you grew up with believing or maybe you thought to be true, because it's going to make life a little bit different.
Yeah, you know, he was saying that he had death threats already. And, I mean, I think he has over the years, but especially now with the film. And it's interesting. Who does that these days? I mean, you think back in the day when somebody said the world was round, they considered them a heretic, and then they killed them or something. And we laugh at that like it's so archaic. You know, I tell people, if Jesus were here today, we'd kill him. So let's not go blaming this culture or that society for having killed Jesus. And like, if there was a Jesus right now walking amongst us, we'd say, oh, he's crazy, burn him or crucify him. It's like we unfortunately in that aspect haven't changed very much. And now we know why, because all of the smart technology has been kept from us.
Well, yeah, you laugh, but let's take that as a possibility. You know, assuming that, you know, power has always been, you know, a driving force, and you know, the even, you know, take it down to a mundane example like racing, right? The guy with the best car typically wins, you know, and maybe not so much these days because they have it so well controlled. But, you know, that has always been the case. If you got a bigger team and more advertising dollars and can put a little more money into your effort, Well, it's the same thing, you know, across the larger groups and governments and things like that. So, that's why I say when I hear some of this stuff, I'm not so shocked, but I still don't know what's, you know, the truth or not the truth. But I just hope that we continue to get this transparency, this disclosure.
Yeah. And you know, I don't remember now, since what I do on radio and off radio is so close to the same thing as far as the conversations I like to have and the kinds of, well, my friends and the people I associate with that I don't remember if I had this conversation on radio or not, but I think it was with a guest either before or being on the air or off. But that we were talking about cell phones and we were both agreeing how cell phones at one point we both had ahas at different times looking at a smartphone rather and saying, wait a minute, this smartphone can show me all this stuff, can tell me all this. Is this combination of plastic and silicon and wires and whatever else is in there, glass, aluminum, whatever, is it possible that that is smarter than me, smarter than my brain, more capable than me? And so I looked at that cell phone and said, wait a minute, I might be able to do all of this without actually needing a cell phone.
You do. People know it and hear it every day, but they're not willing to accept it. The whole idea, one of the examples I use, which the age old, I can't believe you just called because I was just thinking about you. And people, this happens to people all day long and so often, and now I think these days with greater frequency, and yet so many are still willing to say, what a coincidence. No, yeah. I don't believe it's a coincidence.
So we're taught that in order to connect with somebody, we have to use a phone and actually dial 1-818, whatever, and then the phone will ring.
Because the phone is on a certain frequency, and it knows wirelessly to go across the air attune to somebody, another phone that's on the same frequency, which
so, but maybe the phone's
would be
already
similar to
ringing.
What we already do.
Yeah, maybe the phone's already ringing in your head when I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to call Mark, and I just made the call. Hello.
I think that the you know another example on that aspect, a better one, is the old walkie-talkies. If you have your finger on the trigger, right, there's in and out, right? You send outgoing messages, and then you have to let go and listen. Well, if your brain's thinking, you're not receiving. And so if you're outputting, and so that's when these moments, why does it happen all the time? Because we're too busy thinking about this, and I'm late for work, and I'm on my way here.
Money, right?
I gotta make
traffic.
Money. What happens if I lose the car? And all this stuff's going on. Whereas what it usually happens is maybe you listen to a nice song, or it is that peaceful day, and both people might be in that peaceful state, and suddenly I just thought of you, and bing, you ping the other person, and pick up the phone and call, and oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened.
And the reason I brought this up is because I said to him, you know, in a couple sentences, you said so many things that people don't even think about ever, some people. And I mentioned a list of things that he had said. And in one of those things were two words, remote viewing. And that is a huge subject,
It's a huge subject, but it's also an accepted subject. If you ask most
in the
people,
government,
for the people that don't know it, but there's a lot of people now that even in the mainstream, I think more than you might expect, but given a lot of the television, that know that the Russians started using it and that we started using it, they understand that it's used
in the
military.
Really?
Absolutely. It's been used since the 60s.
No, I know that, but I mean in the government, but people out, regular
it's been
people?
This has come up on subway rides. So it's commonplace enough to know that the government uses it. But then people don't extrapolate that out to the possibilities of what we might be capable of doing.
Yeah, we could do that.
And so that's what I mean about asking questions. It always blows my mind less that this is possible and more that we aren't willing to challenge the conventional wisdom, ask some questions, and try to expand our mind and learn more of what's possible.
So I should ride the subway more often. I had no.
That's where all the good ideas come from.
So for those who don't know, remote viewing is like you quiet your mind and you visualize a place and a time, whether it be in the past or like in the past.
Of course,
like,
it's actually very easy to go into a trance state on a subway if you've ever ridden one of those. So.
Really? I doubt it. Anyway, or you go in the future and then you just say, okay, I want to see what's happening over there. And you get to see things. People see things that actually will happen.
Well, and again, you're talking about past and future, and they talk about theories of how there is no past and no future. There's only the present moment. And at the same time, you look at a separate science that says we can spin an atom over here, and then it will automatically correlate in quantum entanglement to an atom that it will spin at some vast distance away at the same time, which therefore eliminates a future or a past because these two at a distance are responding in tandem.
Okay, as if Stephen Greer didn't blow our mind enough. I'm just saying, I'm like, what? Okay. And you said it with so much authority. I love it. And there it is. And so...
Next subject. But okay, so fine. Okay, let's go back to... I don't have all the answers, but these are questions that should be asked. We have enough knowledge now. We can't live in the dark and just, you know, write things off or just take what we're told. You know, this started in me when I was very young, and I was given science books, and they would tell me the center of the earth is molten iron core. And then I realized we can only dig so far down into the earth. So how do you know? Mm-hmm. How is that true? And if that's not true, or if that's something that we can't possibly prove today, then what else have you told me to believe that's complete fact that I'm basing my, you know, life on, based on, you know, all of these things that we learn that may be completely, you know, so far from the truth?
Well, you know, the things that we think of when we're children, you thought that we can only dig so far into the earth. I really believe we can dig all the way to China. And so... I'm serious. I can't tell you how old I was at the time, but as of now, I don't believe that anymore. I mean, not that I could anyway. But seriously, talking about the movie,
I was just trying to think about if somebody had actually done it, and then I would have blown my theory.
No,
I haven't heard of anybody actually.
No, I don't think so. Fair enough. We should have asked Dr. Stephen Greer. He might have known.
Well, because that opens up a whole other thread of, you know, there's a whole contingent that believe that multidimensionality on the Earth exists within Earth as well. Now, we don't really know what's inside.
Beings in the Earth, actually.
You know, down to, you know, Jules Verne and, you know, Journey to the Center of the Earth and all these myths and legends and, you know, who knows? The point being is that as crazy as the Earth is flat? Yeah. Could be just as true or could be just as outlandish. You know, we just don't know because we don't have, you know, we haven't been there. We don't have all the answers.
Yeah. Of course, if we did some remote viewing, we might.
That's true.
Okay, gotta go do some. I'm really grateful not only that Dr. Stephen Greer took the time. He's one of the most popular guests on talk shows. Ironically, like he said, a lot of the main talk shows don't have him because of what he's going to say. Otherwise, they want him, and then they stop him from saying what he wants to say. But happily, we welcomed everything he had to say, and we're interested in it. And we bet you're going to be interested in seeing the film. So you can go to seriousdisclosure.com. And of course, let me tell you just a little bit more about this. If you went to lifechangeswithfilippo.com or lifechanges.ws, either one will get you to the same place, you can go and look. We will have a link for you to be able to sign up as an affiliate so that as you share this film with your friends and family and as people are watching it, you too can make some money off of it while still spreading money and bringing money to the project and to for this whole movement. So this is quite exciting that YECRA has set this up to make this possible. So we encourage you to do that. Oh, also at lifechangesnetwork.com, we will have the link there. So lifechangesnetwork.com, look for the link on how you too can be an affiliate to help spread the word and help make some money yourself and bring money to the project and to the movement to bring disclosure out there. It's quite an exciting time, and it's great to be a part of it on our side, and I'm sure it will be for you as well. This has been quite an epic interview, and we're so glad to have had it. Thank you to, again, Dr. Stephen Greer, and thank you to all of you for being interested in these subjects and for following us along as our life changes and our world changes for that matter. This is Filippo reminding you, as your life changes, we're there for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.